You are listening to Engaging and Exciting Conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What is up, everybody? This is the Radiant Culture Podcast, and this is your host, Kuda.
They were waiting for that other name, weren't they?
They were, but it's not coming. It's not coming. Yeah, Cookie Monster. Cool. Cookie Monster kind of hit the road.
He hit the road.
Yeah, Cookie Monster hit the road, and there's a new guy in town. Anyway, my name is Kuda, and we haven't been with you guys. We're trying something new. We still are.
Yeah, we still are. It's in the works.
It's in the works. But then, you know, we just thought, no, man, we can't be silent for this long.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, welcome to the podcast. We always love it here.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we gave you a lot of good content over the last year, over the last few months. I think you guys had a lot to consume.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep consuming that, because we know we've got some good stuff. We've produced some good,
really good material.
Material.
Yeah.
So keep consuming that. Keep consuming that. But yeah, man. And I'm joined by none other than Mr. Kent.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Good to be back.
What's going on? Or should I call you Pastor Kent?
No.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
I'm good. Yeah. Good to be back.
How's the year going so far?
The year started off crazy. The year started off crazy, but
here
you're
we are.
A new man now.
I'm a new man.
You're an engaged man.
Oh yeah, of course.
Who knew this day would come?
Yeah, guys, I'm engaged.
I wish T-Mac was here, because she used to
flip. Yeah, she came all the way.
She did.
She came all the way. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, "What? You're here?"
Yeah.
So it happened. It happened, and so yeah, I guess I'm a new man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess I'm a new man.
Cool.
And more things to follow.
More things to follow.
Yes, more nice. Things to follow. So thanks, man. Thanks for coming. Thanks to everybody who came. Yeah, it was quite interesting the way it was done. But we're
what
not
a good. Proposal though.
Well, thing is, I didn't experience it like that.
I know what you mean.
You know,
yeah.
I was kind of yeah, I was in my own zone trying to figure everything out, trying to figure out how I was going to do everything. How was it for you
guys?
It
was really good. I enjoyed it. Okay. I think you did it. I was surprised that you kept your nerves.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. I was like, yo, your composure was impeccable.
Reading culture.
If you were like burning inside, we didn't feel it at all.
Okay. That's good. That was the idea. So I'm glad about that. Yeah, and well done with this guy hosted this massive event or program called the Creative Economy Week, where he had artists from all over in partnership with the British Council.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, that was phenomenal, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, a lot of hard work, but yeah, I'm glad it came out the way we had envisioned it.
Shucks.
But yeah.
It feels good to know, you know, I know some important people.
Yeah, right.
No, but yeah, well done.
Thank
well done.
You,
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah.
You guys should look up Creative Economy Week so that you get an idea of what that was about.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not going to get too deep into all of that stuff, because there's a lot to talk about. But there's so much happening in the world today.
Yeah.
Too much, actually. And many people have been asking that, okay, as a Christian, is this the end?
Yeah.
Does this mean that the Lord is about to come back?
Uh-huh.
Even though, you know, the Lord, I don't want to say the Lord has threatened to come back. But let me say that there have been different periods in time where people thought this was the end.
Yeah.
Even in the early days, first century, some of the apostles thought that Jesus was going to come back in the first century.
Yeah.
Like literally they thought he was going to come back while they were still alive.
Still alive, yeah.
And stuff like that. So of course, you know, in throughout history, there have been many who have claimed that they are Christ,
exactly.
or Christ is coming now, or the rapture is happening.
Yeah.
Recently we had that South African owned, who was like, the rapture is happening now. So, I mean, that we've seen a lot of craziness, right? Absolutely. So there's that. And then there's also just a lot that we're seeing, you know, with the Donald doing his thing. And then the wars that are happening. I don't know, but a lot of people are asking questions. Then, of course, you know, you've got the emergence of AI.
Yeah.
And some people think
AI the mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast. You know, Big Brother is watching you.
Yeah.
And all of that. What do you think all of this stuff means? Does it mean anything in your view?
I think we have to be. It's funny you ask that question because I've been thinking about that lately and I've been asking myself, you know, should I ignore this and just carry on as it is? Because some of it is not as close to home. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, we're not really in the Middle East or at the center of all that's happening. So we're not really as affected, even though we have loved ones. I've got loved ones in that area who are saying, yo, things are bad. But, you know, you can never really relate unless you're there. You can just hear what they're saying. But, you know, it's different for someone who's there. So for someone who's there, I can imagine them thinking, oh, my gosh, this is the end of the world.
Yeah.
But for us who are a little bit removed, you're just like, okay, I'm hearing this. And, you know, Jesus talks about you hear rumors of wars and of wars, earthquakes and that sort of thing. So it got me thinking, like, should it matter? Should I pay attention to this? Should I be concerned?
Yeah.
And I think to a certain extent, we should.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus, when his disciples asked the very same question, like, when will the end come? You know, what will happen? When are you going to come back? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he started telling them about all these things, you know, rumors of earthquakes and whatever. And he then tells them, you know, a series of things that, you know, if you see these things happening, it's not the end,
mm-hmm.
but the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. These are just birth pains. Mm-hmm. And he gives a lesson, a parable. It says, take the lesson from the fig tree.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as its branches are tender and it puts out its leaves, you know that summer is here. Mm-hmm. So you, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things have taken place. I still don't understand what he was saying there.
Neither.
But you get a sense of there is an alertness, a watchfulness that mm-hmm. we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be totally ignorant of these things. So when you do see things like, you know, what's happening in the Middle East with Russia as well and Ukraine and the different things that are happening, you know, you start to wonder, okay, what does this mean? And I think it's wise to then just have those discussions and dig into scripture and try and see what's happening. Also with things like AI coming up.
I'm
a little concerned, especially with AI, because mm-hmm. I see like...
Which part?
Like on the Christian front,
uh-huh.
like I see a lot of AI generated Christian content,
right.
like a lot.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I think they do because they watch us, but I don't know how they know I'm a Christian, but I get a lot of ads that are AI ads and they have this AI app that's telling you read the Bible as an get to read the Bible as an expert like your pastor or like you've gone to theology school but you haven't and that sort of thing and it's giving you like these recommendations mm-hmm. for these apps and this sort of thing. I know people that are using AI to create sermons, that's dangerous.
I think that is very dangerous.
I mean, it's great. I think, and I'm not dismissing it. I mean, I haven't personally done it, but mm-hmm. I think AI is great for research, you know. But you have to be careful as well. But for it to generate a sermon for you, where's the Holy Spirit in that? Where's the Word of God in that?
I feel like that topic is a whole podcast.
Yeah,
it's like a whole podcast. But I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
So of course I'm in the music space as you are.
Yeah.
But particularly in the worship music space, and one of the things that of course one of the big conversations that's happening right now is about AI-generated worship music.
Yeah.
Like you rightly said, AI is great as a tool.
Yeah.
It's great for research. But I think if you've ever checked out this artist called Justin Woodlake,
mm-hmm.
Justin Woodlake is, so the first time I heard Justin Woodlake popped up on my Spotify.
Spotify, yeah.
And then it was a Shauna hymn.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. Vocals, perfect vocals.
Yeah.
So I heard that, then I was like, something about this is just too perfect. Too perfect. Especially from a vocal standpoint. Absolutely. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Who's this person? So of course I dug a bit deeper. And then just some things were not adding up. But of course I then put two and two together and realized now this is an AI artist.
Yeah.
So, and I know people love it, people are enjoying it, but my personal take on that is there's something off-putting about, you know, you listen to a song and it's a nice song. It's well put together. Instrumentation is great. The arrangement is great. Great vocals, harmonies, all of that. And then you hear, okay, this is actually not a real person. This was done by a machine. It's like, okay.
Exactly.
You know what I'm trying to say? Why? And I think part of it comes from the belief that we have as human beings that there's something about art that's produced by a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what it takes. You know what it's like for somebody to put their head into something.
Yeah.
And they arrange something. And then they go to Andrew Baird, and Andrew Baird works in the studio and he gets a drummer in and he gets a guitarist in. So I think there's something about the process of creating art that we appreciate.
Yeah.
Which is why the Mona Lisa or whatever other great work of art is appreciated the way that it is, because we understand that there's workmanship that went into it.
Yeah.
When it's too perfect, when all it took was a prompt, and then Suno created the whole thing for you.
Yeah.
It's like, fine, you gave it the right prompt. But it's like, I don't know, man. It's so there's just the artistic side of it. And I think, listen, I think there's a place to use it as an aid. I think there's a place to help enhance what you're already doing. But for it to do the entire process for you, right? And then, of course, when you come into sermons, John Piper has a lot to say about this. You know, John Piper, actually, his stance, I heard a talk that he gave where he was saying he's basically more of the view that it's actually an ungodly thing to get AI to generate a sermon for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hear where he's coming from.
I hear that too.
Where he's saying a sermon is something that is created because it's coming from a deep place of relationship that somebody has with God. But if that's not there and you're just using ChatGPT or whatever AI platform you use, and again, you give it a prompt and it comes up with the whole thing on sanctification and justification and whatever, and then you just read it out. Have you spent time in prayer? Is it coming out of a place of relationship with God?
Yeah.
So there's all, I don't know what you preach and you're a pastor. So I don't know what your take is on that.
Absolutely. I agree with Piper.
Yeah.
I don't think you should have an AI generated message at all, because to me, the Bible scripture is living and active.
Mm-hmm.
So if God is not the one who's placed that thing on your heart, then, you know, they're just mere, they're what is it Paul was saying? People will come with their clever words, you know, it's pretty much clever words that AI has put together because it's able to scan the whole Bible and put things together that quick.
Yeah.
You know, things that would take us, you know, years or some time to put together. So I would say an AI generated message is an analysis. It's more of literature. Do you get what I mean? It's an analysis of text, you know, and coming to a conclusion based off what you're reading. But is it God breathed? Is it Spirit-led? Is it what God is speaking at that moment? I don't think so, because I know, like rightfully said, I preach a lot.
Yeah.
I know what it takes to preach a sermon. It's not just getting into the Bible, finding a scripture, and just blurting it out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's hearing from God. God, what are you saying here?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes, you can. So I know people argue that, some of you preachers, you know, refer to commentaries and stuff. Yes, you're referring to commentaries for context.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you still have to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Precisely.
Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Because a lot of people can preach about grace.
Yeah.
Or a certain scripture, John 3:16.
Yeah.
But what comes out of it will be totally different, not in terms of meaning, but in terms of revelation.
Yeah.
Will be totally different. A preacher will bring out a certain revelation that God has given him through right. prayer, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit,
right.
bringing these things. But it's the same scripture.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think you can get that level of revelation from AI. Yeah. Absolutely not.
And I think that's it right there. Yeah. Man. I think that's it right there, that it becomes a shortcut.
Yeah.
And I think it's less about, you know, are you using AI... Okay, let me rephrase that. The danger, I think, comes in it becoming an actual right. lifestyle and habit, right?
Yes.
Where you rely on AI for everything.
Yeah.
Because the danger with that is I don't know if I can truly and fully trust what ChatGPT is telling me.
Yeah.
And I don't know every source that it uses
mm-hmm.
to deliver this stuff to me.
Yeah.
So there's that side. Then there's again what you shared, that our walk, our fruit is supposed to be, or rather the things that we say
yeah.
is supposed to be fruit that's coming from a relationship that we have with God.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like just jumping onto AI, anyone can do that. Anyone can give AI a prompt, not give a hoot about who God is,
yeah.
not have a relationship with God,
yeah.
and they can still get up and say some profound things.
Yeah.
But what gives Christianity its credibility
yeah.
is not profound words.
Yeah.
Like Paul says, that I did not come to you with profound words of human wisdom,
right? Well,
but
yeah.
with a demonstration of the Spirit's power.
Power. Yeah.
But you don't get to demonstrate the Spirit's power if you have no relationship with him.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the danger. And I think the same applies to music as well.
Yeah.
Where you can get into the studio and produce a good song.
Yeah.
Catchy melody.
Yeah.
Everything, right? And it's a great worship song.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not coming from a place of a relationship with God, if it's not coming from a place where, you know, you were in your word
mm-hmm.
and you were crying before God.
God,
you were,
yeah.
You were humbling yourself before God and this thing began to come out of your spirit. Now, I'm not saying there are no times where you sit down and pen a song and yes,
yeah.
but I'm saying ultimately worship is supposed to come from a deep place.
From a deep place, yeah.
And worship is more than just music, right? Worship
yeah.
is actually something that worship is ministry.
Yeah.
And so worship is also supposed to come from a place of scripture, from a place of truth. And those things can only come from a life that is surrendered to God.
God.
So as you develop and produce AI music and all of that, is it coming from a place of a relationship with God, or is it just something you're doing because you're like, well, I can and I've
yeah.
got the tools?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I feel like this is becoming a conversation about AI, which was not the intention.
Which is not the intention, but hey, if we're being led there.
That's where we're at. So then the question, I think, becomes in the church.
Yeah.
How do we live with this stuff, right? How do mm-hmm. we, as a Christian, how can you live in a healthy way with AI, with all of this technology?
Mm-hmm.
Using it versus it using you, as it were, or
yeah.
versus you becoming just, yeah, you become so dependent on it that
on
it can
it,
become almost
yeah.
like a god.
Exactly.
Where is that balance?
I think you have to be careful, especially with these free things. It's a well-known saying in marketing, uh-huh. in digital marketing, that if something is free, then you are the product. Do you hear me? If something is free, then you're the product.
Yeah.
You're the one who's being sold. And think about that. So if AI is free, how are they making money? That means they're making money off your input, your prompts are mm-hmm. training that thing. So you're free labor to training that thing that it gets smart and as smart as it can, so that when they do sell it to those that buy it, at a premium, because, you know, it gives you those, you know, restrictions, you know what I
yeah.
mean? So
yeah.
for you to then unlock those restrictions, you need to have paid, right?
Right.
But how does it get to that level where it's that smart for you to unlock? It's you guys training it.
Right.
So all your prompts is like, give it to me, give it to me. Yes.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So you... So you are the product.
You are the product. You're the one who's being sold.
Okay. So now I was just looking for something here.
So but where I was getting at is we obviously don't want to be silly and live under a rock. You know what I mean? But you also want to be careful and say, okay, there are these tools. What's the most responsible way of using them?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a good point there that... I'll be honest, I've found myself thinking, I love technology, right?
Yeah.
I love technology, I love tech. But I remember when I started using, at first I used to use Copilot.
Yeah, yeah, right? And we all started
there. Yeah, I used to use Copilot. And the person, a friend of mine introduced me to Copilot, and they used to use it a lot. We're actually how I realized how crazy AI is.
Yeah.
I was in the States, went to the States.
Yeah.
Some time back, I was with a good homie of mine.
Yeah.
He's actually been on this podcast. I was with a good homie of mine and we were, doing stuff.
Yeah.
So he uses AI a lot, like especially just for stuff, right?
Yeah.
To get around. And of course the way these things work when you're in the States
is different.
It's very different. Yeah. So I'd messed around with AI here.
Yeah.
And stuff. So now I'm in the States, and I've got my homie. My homie literally has this thing, and it's like they've got a relationship. It's like they're talking.
Oh my!
You know what I'm trying to say?
I know those kind of people. Yeah.
They talk. They're having conversations. Yeah. He's driving. I think the one time we're driving from like Orlando to like a different city in in Florida. It was like a 4 or 5 hour drive.
Yeah.
You know, so like conversations are happening. And you're asking this thing stuff, and it's just giving you. And the way that it was so on point with stuff,
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you can converse. You're asking it, okay, so where's the best restaurant for this?
Yeah.
It'll give you the list of restaurants. So I'm saying the way it was so intuitive in that part of the world, right? It's quite different from, you know, from here, obviously, because, you know, it's here, it's probably still figuring out stuff. Whereas there, that's like it's native.
Native, yeah.
It's native environment. So... when I came back, my appreciation for it had changed because of the amount of stuff that I learned. Then I hopped over from Copilot, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
Then I hopped over to ChatGPT. I was now using ChatGPT more seriously.
Yeah.
And I just got blown away by the level of information that ChatGPT was delivering.
Yeah.
Further to that, I was shocked by the speed. At which you give it a prompt, and it just knows stuff.
Exactly.
So I think I was both impressed and scared. I was like, yo, hold up.
Yeah.
How do I listen to a podcast? I give you the link to the podcast, and you're able to give me a summary. You're able to give me a breakdown of the entire podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, guys,
nah,
this is crazy.
That's crazy.
So it on one end, I think it is good in that it's making us super efficient and you're able to do certain things super efficiently. But I think on the other hand, I'm just like, I don't know. Especially, you know, I can be a bit of a conspiracy theorist sometimes. I'm being honest. If you've watched movies like Ex Machina and others where, you know, there's this robot and this AI that then takes over its owner and then totally takes over the world. So I think things like that for me are like, but these movies were done in like 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. Were they foretelling stuff that's coming, right?
Yeah.
So I will be honest, part of me thinks like that.
Yeah.
But then another part of me is just like, no, this is dope. Because it's like, flip. Dude, you can just get things done.
Yeah.
So... okay, I know I'm rambling a bit, but the point is simply that there's this tension that we have to live with, which is that on one end, we are reaping the benefits of it. You know, I wish we had ChatGPT when we were studying. Imagine high school, bro.
The kids now, bro.
Imagine. Brad would have aced.
Exactly.
But then also some peons will still have gotten 2 points. But anyway, that's... because I just wouldn't use it for that, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that you've got this amazing tool, right? But the flip side is, it's like, sure. But this tool, though, What makes it so powerful?
Powerful, yeah.
And what does it become in the wrong hands?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so...
Yeah. No, it's... I agree with you. It's really scary. Like, ChatGPT argues with me now. And I'm like, yo, you know, I can actually have an argument and it will present its case. And it's got an upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell me that I'm contradicting myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll bring up a conversation we had in January.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, where am I to say, but in January you said this. And I'm like,
are you on the paid
bro? Now? Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm saying the free one doesn't
do that. Oh, yeah, the free one. You're not going to get those features.
Yeah, you see?
But it will analyze, you know, because I do a lot of research and I ask, you know, I use it to bounce back ideas to see what I'm thinking. Is it, you know, feasible? And it will bring back stuff from January and say, no, you asked me about something similar like this and your stance was this. What's changed?
Right.
I'm like, bro, why are you challenging me?
You see now.
But it's so scary how almost human it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So this homie of mine was asking it for relationship advice.
Yeah.
He had a whole situation that he was dealing with. So that's what was crazy for me. So you're rapping like you're rapping to a homie. But the amount of, I don't want to call it wisdom.
Yeah.
But it's just dropping some really useful information.
Yes.
And you're like, wow, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if this is where it's at now, what's it going to be like in 10 years' time?
In 10 years' time,
I think those are the things that I often find myself wondering. But back to...
Because we were wowed, just before you get to that point, and just how scary the advancement is. We were wowed when things like Siri came out.
Yes.
We were like, this is amazing.
Yes.
You know, this thing can do that, you know. But now... It thinks and it generates, which is scary.
So, Siri, Siri, I use Siri again
I don't use Siri anymore.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, I hope she won't shout at
me. She actually literally just said, Siri, keep quiet. So, I think that's the other side, right?
Yeah.
Which is, the moment I say Siri... Hey Siri. Okay, fine. Doesn't want to do it anymore. But the fact that these things are always listening to us.
Yeah.
Right. That's the whole thing. But I said, I don't want to get into that whole conspiracy theory side of me.
Yeah.
I want to keep this focused on, as a believer, and I think this is the crux of our conversation, right? That as a believer, what are some of the ways that you can make use of these tools? Because we can't ignore that the men and women who are creating these tools or who are driving these things, many of them are not believers.
Yeah.
Many of them are not doing it because they want to honor God and because, you know, they're like, no, we want to make the world a better place because we want to do it for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are doing it for profit, for power, for whatever. But many of the agendas that are behind it, if you listen to Sam Altman or something, I think that's his name.
Yes, yes.
The open AI guy. He's not a believer.
Yeah.
And he talks about things like that. So you've got, but again, it's been like that though for a long time where many of the tech billionaires don't believe in God. I don't know if Steve Jobs believed in God. I don't know if Bill Gates believes in God. But we use their tools and their stuff for everyday life. So I don't think that one is something we should worry about too much. But having said that, I think the danger, the thing that I would say is unprecedented about AI is that it's the interactive nature
of it,
of it. And the fact that it's got the ability to transform our lives in real time.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't matter who you are. You can be somebody who doesn't have a cent to their name. You can get the free version of chat, and it's very good.
Very good, yeah.
And now, some of the dangers that come with that is that, yes, for somebody who's got their head screwed on right, you can ask it to give you advice and to you can do research on important things.
Important things,
But you've also got to think about the person who has a messed up mind or the teenager who's still struggling with stuff, right?
Yeah.
This opens up a whole other world.
World,
you know, think about the porn industry.
Oh, yeah, there is generative porn now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So think about what that does now to already messed up people. Think about the...
Then,
of course, there's things like the cases about how a kid committed suicide somewhere in America because AI showed them how to do it, and they were in this whole interactive thing with AI. So I'm saying, so you've got the whole, the dark side of it, which is something that you have to... that we have to deal with as people. That, so again, I guess it's a tool, but I'm saying as a believer, especially maybe as, you know, as a parent, you're a parent.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a parent, right?
Yeah.
How do you raise your children in this world? We didn't grow up in this world. How do you raise your children in this world where they've got access to so much information, where as a father, you can give your son an instruction or advice or whatever, but now your son has another voice that can speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
He can go and get a second opinion.
Yeah.
You see, things like that I'm like,
not flip. Only a second opinion, a third and a fourth.
There we
They'll
go.
They'll go to ChatGPT and then DeepSeek and then Gemini and then compare.
Like, dude, it's small. Yeah. But even as a pastor, as a pastor, you can preach a sermon.
Yeah.
And Kudara, you'd hear a sermon. You take notes. We used to take notes, and I would spend the whole week reading my notes by Pastor Tom.
Yeah,
that would be, and I'm there.
You now need to post the link and summarize,
and then summarize.
Yeah.
But then you can also hear what Steve Frederick is saying.
Yeah,
and you can hear what this other preacher is saying, and what this other dude is.
Yeah,
and so now it's like you've got all these other sources that are there, and you can get lost.
Absolutely.
Or you can just. You can just have paralysis because there's just so much information, and all you do now is just take in information. So I think that's the danger of it all.
I'm starting to be a little bit paranoid and scared of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this thing where I feel like, what if the Bible's being altered? So I now have this thing of, you know, now referring to my old physical Bible. I'm like, this one guy is not changing. These words are not changing. Because I appreciate the Bible app and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not saying they've done that. No, I love the Bible app. I do plans there and stuff. But they could simply do that without you noticing.
Yeah.
You know, how many people remember scripture word for word?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You will come back and you think it's a new revelation. You're like, I never knew that was it.
Yeah.
But they've totally... changed or twisted a line.
Yeah. And what they'll do is
they'll
just do it gradually.
Gradually, yeah.
So it's so subtle that you won't notice it immediately.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I think people need to have their guard against that. I'm not saying it's happened or whatever, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And my advice is, you know, those old Bibles, make sure you keep them safe because you always want to go back to your original text and see if anything has been altered. Because in the last days, people will tell you what you want to hear.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
And scripture tells us that people are going to want to hear what they're itching, what their itching ears want to hear, right? They're going to flock to preachers who preach what their itching ears want to hear. So there's that as well.
Yeah.
But that point is such a good point. So so my pastor, or my pastor's wife, has this thing where she is actually quite pedantic about this, you know, about carrying your real Bible. Right. I remember early days, I used to be like, okay, come on. You know, don't be. But the more I've thought about it, the more I'm like, you know, she has a point.
She's got a point.
That we, well, at first of all, the whole discipline of reading, for starters, our attention spans are being eroded very quickly.
Yeah.
So now where you were able to go through a whole book, you know, I'm a bit of a bookworm. I love reading.
Yeah.
But more and more you find that, hey, I can just get a summary.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's you literally need to be careful to fight against that.
Yeah.
Because not many people can stomach reading a whole book.
A whole book. Yeah.
And because we've become so used to sound bites and to summarized versions of this and summary.
Yeah.
You can also carry the same attitude into your Bible reading.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, I don't need to read the whole chapter. Let me just see what the Bible Project has to say. Now, of course, I've got nothing against the Bible Project.
Yeah.
I think it's a good place to go and check out summaries. But how I use the and Bible get Project.
Greater context.
Yes, it yeah. helps to give me context so yeah. that when I'm reading when that chapter reading, yeah. or that book, I understand what it yeah. is. But you can't use that as your primary source.
Primary.
But that's what some people do.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm saying we can do the same thing with these AI tools.
Yeah.
Where you no longer go to the Bible, to scripture, to get the... to dive into scripture,
yeah.
and really get the richness that is in scripture. No, you just read, okay, fine. What does ChatGPT have to say about
yeah.
this chapter?
Yeah.
And then that's all you're relying on. I think that's a danger. So, of course, I would say we need to go back to our physical Bibles.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I use my Bible app very sparingly. I use it, you know, because I can't carry my Bible
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah.
If I'm at somewhere and I just want to refer to something,
yeah.
I'll use it. But that's yeah. not for me. That's not what I use
as my
primary, because I want to be able to mark in my Bible.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to scribble and
because
yeah. it actually helps me. Right. But that's another thing. I want to recommend a book. Speaking of books, there's a book that was written by Dr. John Lennox. I'm actually currently reading this book. John Lennox, for some of you who may know him, or is a Christian apologist.
Yeah.
He's quite a bally now. He's in his 80s, but very smart guy. Very smart yeah. man. Triple PhD, yeah. pure mathematician, but he's a Christian. He's a Christian apologist, Bible expositor, all of that. He's debated some of the smartest atheists in the world, people like Richard Dawkins and stuff. But he wrote a book called 2080, Artificial Intelligence and the Future of Humanity.
Wow.
That book, so 2080, just in case you're wondering, is a spin-off of the book 1980.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 1980 yeah. is a book written by George Orwell. George Orwell is the guy who wrote The Animal Farm.
Yeah.
So he wrote a book called 1980. And then so I think, and it's talking about, what's 1980 talking about? The rise of technology. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then so John Lennox does 2080,
yeah.
which is... it's purely on AI,
uh-huh.
but he does such a good job of breaking it down from a Christian perspective. So just a few quotes from there. He says that he actually gives hope.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. It's
okay.
quite a hopeful book yeah. when you read, because he really breaks it down in some pretty deep ways as a deep person that he is.
Yeah.
He says AI is powerful, but not human. Right.
Yeah.
In other words, his belief is that, rather, what he's positing there is that, yes, AI has all this power, but ultimately, humans have soul. Humans have moral agency yeah. and all of that. And so he's basically saying that we tend to ascribe more power to AI than it actually has.
Has.
Then technology amplifies human intent. That's one of his other quotes. Yeah. But there's one that I wrote down. He says that... the real danger is not AI replacing us, but us losing what makes us human.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think things like that, right? But the one that I'm actually looking for is, he's talking about how we are getting, how we can become programmed. Anyway, but it's something to the tune of, he's saying, we can become discipled by algorithms.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are some of the things. I'll look for the quotes. I don't know. But find the book. It's a brilliant book.
Yeah.
Who's discipling you as a person?
Yee.
Are you being discipled by Christ? Are you being discipled by the Word of God?
Mm.
Or are you being discipled by your algorithm?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, yes, I know we're talking about AI specifically,
yeah,
but even just with technology in general, your feed is giving you what you want to hear, what you want to see, and it gives you more of that. And AI...
Algorithms are AI-driven.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So I think that's the danger now, where the things that you are seeing constantly,
mm-hmm.
look at the things that you're struggling with
mm-hmm.
in life,
mm-hmm.
right? And then look at your... media consumption patterns.
Yeah.
Sometimes it shows you can see a correlation there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That if you're a young lady and you're constantly looking at things to do with image and All of that stuff. Yeah. You know, you're always looking at chicks who look a certain way, and you're comparing yourself to that.
Yeah.
You can very quickly start having an identity crisis.
Yep.
Why? Because you're looking at all these people and how they look and whatever, but you're forgetting that all those pictures are perfectly curated and airbrushed and whatever. And that picture she posted is probably the 20th, right?
I've been a victim of that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of not a victim in terms of identity crisis,
right?
But a victim in terms of you've seen someone on your feed,
mm-hmm.
and they look a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and then somehow you meet them in person, and they're not the same. They don't really look the same, and you then realize, like, no, this person put on makeup, posed in a certain way, used filters.
My God,
because some people, the way how light that person looked, and the opposite was the reality. Yo. in person,
bro.
So yeah.
Yeah, but please, guys, just stop doing that.
But people still do that. It's
no, I'm laughing because the exact same thing has happened, where you then meet someone in person, or you bump into them at a coffee shop or something, and then you're like, or you see them from a distance. Like, wait, hold up. That looks like, what? Oh, okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy. I don't know. But again, that's the pressure that's the pressure we're living under.
Yeah.
But I think even, you know, and it's not just for women, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm just targeting the ladies. But I think even with guys, you've got to be careful about, you know, the guys that are posting the Lamborghinis and the fancy lifestyle and business is thriving and they're doing this and... You just don't know what they are doing.
Yeah.
You can start thinking that your life is not moving and that, you know, your life sucks and business sucks and you're left behind. Meanwhile, what somebody's posting, you know, there's that, I don't know if you guys know the story about Bow Wow, where he posts something about being on a private jet and is about to go somewhere. Then he happens to be on the same flight with somebody who sees him flying coach.
Yeah,
and then they take a picture from then they post it on social media.
Yeah,
because he'd been lying that he was flying private.
Private, yeah.
And yet he's actually
yeah.
But I'm just saying, and of course I think that actually affected or left a dent on his image and his credibility.
Yeah,
but it just goes to show you how a lot of these guys who are posting lifestyles are not telling the truth.
They're not.
And so you start thinking that your life sucks. Because you're comparing it to somebody else's perfectly curated picture. But at the same time, you also need to be careful that you're not doing that to other people.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure of wanting to look like you've arrived or wanting to look like things are a certain way.
Yeah.
That's not that I'm saying don't post your victories and don't post your achievements. I think there's a place for that. But what's the motive? Again, I'm bringing it back to the Christian worldview to say what is the heart behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
Are you doing it because what? The Bible says that we should not become friends. At this 1 John, do not become friends with the world.
World, yeah.
Right. And then it talks about what constitutes the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a bit of a paraphrase, I know.
Yeah.
But where are you being motivated by the lust of the flesh?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
The lust of the eyes.
Yeah.
Right. What are you wanting people to see about you?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Right. Then the pride of life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for many, especially for men, I know this can be a big one for us where we have this pride in our achievements. We have this pride in wanting to outdo the next person or wanting to look like, you know, we're this alpha male or whatever. And those are all things that I think the tools that are there aid that now. And it makes it so much easier to be that. And you can
be that.
You can put out a persona that is not true.
And you know what's interesting is how we sometimes do it with false humility.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I'm not attacking anyone, but I've noticed that there are times where you post and you say, I am so humbled, or I am honored. It was my privilege, But we all know you're shouting, saying, look at me, look at me, look at what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I'm not pointing fingers, but you know, we just got to check ourselves sometimes when we, and I love what you said, what's the motive?
Yeah.
You know, and if you've, I don't know if people have noticed, I haven't posted anything this year. Like literally, if you go on my page, the last thing you will see is December 2025.
Wow.
Simply because I've been questioning what, and I'm not saying it's bad to post, but just simply for me, I'm on a journey trying to figure out, I'm going to post again, but I'm trying to figure out what should I post and what is my motive behind those posts. Sometimes I did it not because I had a bad motive, but I was now concerned because, hey, newsflash, I'm a pastor. So you know what I mean? What I do is scrutinized by my flock. And I was getting concerned because there are certain people who thought I lived a certain lifestyle when I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of people put a certain status on me that I hadn't arrived at.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's easy to, you know, when you're seen with the who's who's and whatever, people then associate, like, if you're mixing and mingling with those people, then you must be at their level.
Yeah.
So people have that.
Important people like Koda.
You know, exactly. You know, but you know what I mean? And then if you have a series of posts with a number of important people, people start thinking you're in that league or you're operating at that level.
Yeah.
But genuinely, you're not.
Yeah.
And you may not be posting because you want to portray that image, but that's how people interpret it.
That is so good.
You get what I mean? And then you have these young people now striving to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you call them out and question them, and they're like, I just want to be like you, Mfundisi. You're bawling. You're I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yo, that's such a good point, man.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. And I think it's something that we all have to be careful about.
Yeah.
All of us, and myself included. You know, we can so easily fall into that trap.
Yeah.
I too have been struggling to post.
Yeah.
It's just a thing where, now, I'll be honest, I've been there where I've been like, no, I'm privileged. I feel so honored to be. But sometimes
I've done that.
Sometimes it's actually coming from a genuine place.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, you can have these humble brags.
Yeah.
Where, yes, you're humble, but you're also bragging.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, hey, look at me. Yeah. I'm doing well in life, you know? Yeah. Or, yeah, look at what's happened with me. But I think those are things that we have to let the Holy Spirit point out in our life to say, okay, dude.
Yes.
Right, because everything that we do ultimately as Christians has to point to the glory of God.
Yeah.
If it's not giving God glory, then we should not want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And I think God will deal with us in different ways. But I think I do see some Christians who post a lot that I'm like, my brother or my sister. Ish. Who's getting the glory here? You know, and I think lastly, even the point that you raised about people watching us.
Yeah.
I think definitely for you as a pastor, somebody who's up there, I'm a worship leader and a worship director. So also I do have a lot of people who follow me and look up to me, right? But I think beyond that, just as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you don't even need to be a pastor. You don't need to be standing on stage. I'm saying just as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility because you carry the name of Christ.
Christ, yeah.
And so we all have to. My friend Trem, very good friend of mine, friend of ours. One of the things that he often says, he says, God is always trying to humble us.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, my guy, God is always trying to humble us. Yeah. But what he's just saying about that is because we're so prideful as human beings and as people. Our natural inclination is to be self-centered and to want to prop ourselves up to stand up for our agenda.
Yeah.
But God is in the process of just wanting to humble us, wanting it to be like, no, my guy, just chill. Because if you humble, if you humble yourself, I will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there's that way. We've got to be careful about self-promotion.
Yeah.
We've got to be careful about constantly wanting to put ourselves out there.
Yeah.
Right? Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place.
Yeah.
You know, if you are in a particular line of business and you wanna, you've got to market your business, that's different.
Yeah. Makes sense, yeah.
But I'm saying we've got to be careful about propping ourselves up and putting ourselves in the limelight and making a great deal of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because this is what social media and all these tools allow us to do.
Yeah.
To make a great deal of who we are.
Yeah.
What it then does to a lot of us is, number one, you're putting yourself under an immense amount of pressure to look a certain way. Now you can't just dress like a normal person, right? Because you're the guy who's got the sneaker collection. So every time that you go out there, you've got to be rocking the latest J's or the latest this. Too much pressure. Or you've got to have the latest. You can't just carry a normal phone. It's got to be the latest iPhone. It's got to be the latest Samsung or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, whatever. Samsung people. I don't even know if there's such a thing as the latest Samsung. But
shots fired.
but whatever it is, right, that you use. Now you've got to have the latest iPhone 17 Pro Max, the orange one, so that everyone can see. You know what
the
I'm trying
orange
to say?
One.
Yes, you've got to have the orange one, the one that's used by Slay Queens. But all I'm just saying, and listen, okay, maybe I'm hating a bit here because I don't have it.
They're not called Slay Queens anymore, they're baddies.
Oh, baddies. Okay, hey, my baddies. All I'm just saying, guys, is enjoy the things that you get to enjoy. I think have the latest phone, if you can afford to have the latest car, whatever.
Yeah.
But again, is that what Christ wants for us? When you're posting your achievements, is it Christ honoring? Can somebody follow that? And can you point them
This
says Christ.
Yeah.
And by the same token, if you're in a season in your life where you are struggling, or maybe you're going through some sort of suffering, maybe you're going through stuff, don't be too quick to say it's the devil. Don't be too quick to want to get out of that. Because sometimes it's God who is breaking.
Yeah,
the Bible in Peter talks about how our faith, which is more precious than gold, is tested and refined through the things that we suffer.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're going through suffering because God is refining something in you.
Yeah.
God is healing you from your addiction to approval.
Yeah.
Or your addiction to want to be seen, to be the most important person in the room.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, know where you're at, but ultimately, let's make this about Christ. Let the tools that we're using, let the tech, the AI, all that we're doing, ultimately, if it doesn't honor Christ,
it doesn't. Yeah.
Then we can't be enjoying it if we know that it's not bringing honor to Christ. Anyway,
cool.
I'm done.
I think we wrap it up there.
Cool.
I've got a silly question though. Mm. Someone asked me this and I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
It's like, can you be a Christian baddie? I couldn't answer. How do you answer that?
Okay, you know what? Maybe let's talk about that in the next episode. Cool. I feel like that's a whole can. That's a whole can of worms right there. Wow. Okay, you know what, guys? We're done. Thank you all for listening. So I think in the next episode, we're going to talk about this. Or at least maybe it'll be part of the discussion. Can you be a Christian baddie? Wow. Oh, my word. Okay. Thanks for listening. This is your host, Koda. Mr. Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. We're out.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.